into the history of the institution, into what Parliament does, and what are the, let's say, prospects for the near future. Historically speaking, I might talk about the Common Assembly, as the Parliament was known back in the days of the European Coal and Steel Community. Just call it Adunare Comune, because assembly normally translates as Adunare. The Common Assembly becomes the European Parliamentary Assembly, Adunare Parlamentare. You've heard of the Rome Treaties. And the rest should be fairly familiar. Kidding, mine. I just want to start. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm quite sure you are familiar with European institutions and with the fabled European triangle consisting of the Parliament, the Commission and the Council. But today I want to speak in particular about the European Parliament. A fairly interesting institution, I might say, from many, many points of view. First of all, it is the only EU institution that's directly elected by European voters. And this makes it highly unique, because if there is concern in Europe nowadays about the future of EU institutions, that largely has to do with the so-called democratic deficit. I mean, a sizable part of the EU institutional structure is not directly elected or directly controlled by the citizens of Europe, and that is seen as a bit of a problem. Whereas nothing of the kind can be said about the European Parliament, which of all European institutions is practically closest to the common citizens. But what is the European Parliament? Well, we might be tempted to say that it represents the legislative body of the European Union, and that is true, but only in part. In point of fact, the European legislative is divided into two parts. The equivalent of the higher chamber, the Senate in our country, is unfortunately not the Parliament, but the Council. The Parliament is only half of the European legislative, and I have to say it's the lower half, in a way the House of Representatives, for all intents and purposes, because the legislative in Europe is practically bicameral. So the Parliament and the Council are the legislative body. Now, the powers of the Parliament are also severely limited. This largely because member states are more comfortable with the Council, in which their governments are directly represented, and they're not willing to let this Parliament with elected representatives from God knows what political parties do anything it pleases. Currently, the European Parliament has 785 MEPs, but with elections taking place, well, next week, if I'm not much mistaken, things might change. Now, the last time I checked, and it wasn't a very long time ago, no one had a precise idea as to how many members the future Parliament will have, and that tells a lot about how things are done in the European Union. If you count according to the Lisbon algorithm, you get a figure. If you count according to the old algorithm, you get another. So it's going to be either 750-some or 730-some. MEPs. Quite frankly, I don't know yet. Now, what we can say in terms of the history of the European Parliament is that pretty much like all European institutions, it was not originally designed in its current form. It was built, it was work in progress, and it still is work in progress from many points of view. It all started back on September 10, 1952, with a so-called Common Assembly of the ECSC, of the European Coal and Steel Community. But this common assembly was a far cry from any idea of a modern parliament. First of all, it wasn't a legislative, but rather a consultative body. It was basically consulted on certain issues, but had no power beyond issuing an opinion. It consisted of 78 parliamentarians sent by the parliaments of each member state. So there were no direct elections for it either. And the fact that it was completely deprived of any legislative power tended to considerably reduce its importance. Now, in 1958, two additional communities were created, European Economic Community and Euratom. And this old common assembly now took the more appealing name of European Parliamentary Assembly. And this European Parliamentary Assembly in 1962 changed its name into, brace for it, the European Parliament. The only thing is that it was pretty much only the name that changed. In actual fact, it was the same common assembly with virtually no power at all. Why was that? Well, because people found it fairly difficult to agree on anything in Europe, then and now. The Rome Treaties of 1958 actually provided for an elected body with increased attributions and powers. But negotiations concerning the manner in which the parliament was to be elected took forever. The council failed to agree on a uniform voting system across Europe. So when elections were held, they were held only in 1979. It took them 20 years of haggling. But eventually, pan-European elections were held, and that was the first time in history that transnational elections took place. After the elections, with more legitimacy coming from the popular vote, the powers of parliament gradually increased. But once again, never really according to a master plan. It was trial and error, and trial again, and error again. I mean, if you look even at the seat of the parliament, you realize a lot about the way in which things are done in the EU. Again, because the seat of parliament is not fixed. In theory, or originally, the parliament was supposed to have its home in Strasbourg, France. But as the council and the commission were in Brussels, MEPs realized that they wanted to be closer to the action. So in 1985, the parliament got a second building in Brussels this time. So now, officially, the seat of the parliament is Strasbourg, but sessions are held in Brussels. In point of fact, Brussels is the chief venue. But every month, all MEPs, with their assistants, with their mistresses, with their interpreters in tow, move to Strasbourg, to the great enjoyment of no one in particular, if we don't count Strasbourg hotel owners and businesses. So every month, millions and millions of taxpayers' money are spent, and quite frankly, the reason completely escapes me. Maybe the fact that last year, if I'm not much mistaken, the ceiling of the parliament building in Strasbourg collapsed was a divine sign that maybe some reason is needed in order to deal with this commuting. What are the powers of the parliament? Like I said, it's basically half of the European legislative branch. But it has, and this is very interesting, it has no right to legislative initiative. It cannot initiate legislation. Any national parliament has that power, but not the European Parliament. The parliament can amend or reject the bills drafted by the commission, but it is the commission that initiates legislation. I'm simplifying things a bit, but I suppose it's quite enough for our purposes. Now, it is said unofficially that in point of fact, Parliament does exercise this right to legal initiative because it makes proposals to the Commission. And more often than not, the Commission actually acts on that proposal and drafts a bill that's basically desired by MEPs. But this is all tortuous, and, well, that's only fit for an EU institution, isn't it? There's obviously a lot more about the functions and the activity of Parliament, but I seem to be running out of time, so I'm going to stop here. Thank you.